The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene, would you eat an 8-week-old pizza, even if it was from an Israeli high-tech company?
Well, I was thinking as I was listening to you guys speak, and first of all, you're both fabulous in the morning. I have to weigh in on this conversation because I know many people talk about pizza the next day or pizza's a good breakfast food. You know, I don't understand that myself, nor do I understand a Hamas pizza, although Hamas almost became a pizza after this week. But Benj, I have to ask you, bananas on a pizza? I mean, I'm a fan of pineapple on a pizza, but bananas. I'm not quite wrapping my head around.
Well, I think, Sonati, maybe you can help me, but wasn't like a pineapple on pizzas breaking the internet at some point?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Bananas on a pizza are fabulous.
Yeah, no, I'm all for, personally, I'm also all for bananas on a pizza. I think it actually works surprisingly well, along with caramelized onions and feta cheese.
Okay, now, I don't even know where to start asking questions with that one, but now I'm very, very intrigued, and now I have to go and investigate the possibility of putting bananas on my pizza.
Okay. You can report back to us next week.
It's
the
investigative
weekend.
Journalism, Benj.
100%. I mean, 100%. And you can try with the hummus as well, hummus pizza.
Pardon?
Hummus pizza, never mind Hamas pizza, hummus pizza.
Hummus pizza. You know, we have hummus ice cream here. I haven't tasted it.
Yeah, I heard
also
a bit
can't
of a
quite
flop,
wrap my head around the possibility of hummus ice cream. But on the subject of food and ice cream, mm-hmm. apparently one of our very, very well-known ice cream chains is introducing glow-in-the-dark ice cream. I'm very curious. Zanati, Benj, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I think it's clearly practical, right? Because when is the only time you really need to eat ice cream at night? It's when your wife is pregnant and she's demanding ice cream, and now you have to go into the kitchen and find it, and there it is glowing for you so that you can get it to your wife without slipping on the cat or whatever, you know?
No, I'll miss that one.
I mean, I understand and I hear your argument for practicalities, but do we really want to be eating food that glows in the dark? You know, I don't even want to venture a guess what goes into this particular ice cream to make it so, so neon.
Well, I remember at one point there was one of these gene splicing experiments where they took glow in the dark genes from fish and then they put it into a monkey and then its toes were glowing in the dark. So, you know, I suppose I think it probably is from the fish. It's probably glow in the dark fish genes in your ice cream. So there we go. Now let's try and talk about something serious. I know it is a Friday, Raline, and we can get banana pizzas and glow in the dark ice cream and all this is lovely. But more importantly, we have a fragile truce which it's holding, which is actually probably more important, to be honest.
Very important. I mean, you and I chatted yesterday about the horrendous 24 hours that citizens in the south of Israel faced, with over 200 rockets and mortars fired incessantly into the areas, sending most of them or many of them running for their shelters. And these 2 days were the worst exchange of fire between Israel and Hamas since Protective Edge in 2014. In fact, rockets and projectiles were fired towards Be'er Sheva, which is the first time that has happened since 2014. And many of us were actually convinced that after the security cabinet met last night that we could possibly be seeing some kind of ground operation. Nevertheless, Hamas has said that a ceasefire has been reached on the basis of mutual calm, and this was mediated by Egypt and other regional players. I'm sure the United Nations Special Envoy, definitely not Iran. And Israel has denied there's a truce. However, an Israeli official has told Israel Radio that quiet will be met with quiet, and there were no reports of violence or anything reported along the border last night. But there will be severe security restrictions around the towns of Netivot and communities in the central Negev region. And today the train service between Ashkelon and Sderot will resume. But we are on alert. It is a Friday. This is all going on with a along the background of negotiations with Hamas, with Egypt, with the special envoy to the region from the United Nations. And maybe this was a show of strength on Hamas's part, but one thing for sure, we see it as a war crime.
Yeah, absolutely. I see Zanati also in the news talking about potential protests. So we're going to have to watch that a little bit. Interesting story here, Rolene, also about Israeli Druze teens. What is going on if you're an Israeli Druze teen at the moment?
Well, in the town of Usfia, which is in Israel's Carmel region, and if you love food, Benj, that is the place to be. If you can get to the Druze village of Usfia, the food is phenomenal.
Do they put bananas on their pizza?
I don't know about banana pizza, but most certainly the most phenomenal hummus you'll ever taste. But there are young volunteers from the Druze community who are participating in a weekly program to provide companionship and to monitor the health of seniors. And this is really, really special. These are all youngsters still in school, and with the instigation of a Druze volunteer medic, his name is Ryan Amasha, he's 27 years old, he regularly visits an elderly man in his village, and he takes him out for coffee, and he phones him a few times a week, and he checks his vital signs to make sure his health is good. And this has spurred United Hatzolah, which he's a member of, and another organization called Ten Kavod, which means to give respect. And they have joined up with these young volunteers to make matches for elderly people who need a little bit of companionship and just need to be monitored. So there are now 25 Druze teens post their high school and their national service or their army service. And they are doing something really, really special. And one of their spokesperson, her name is Yasmin Kara, she says that she believes that one of the challenges facing Israel today is a lack of connection and understanding between our youth and the golden years generation. And they say that their national service, as well as some who defer their IDF service in order to work in the community for a year or two in Daliat al-Kamal, want to take part in this emergency medical responder course and help up their community. So I think it's really, really something special, and hopefully it's a model that can be rolled out throughout the country, and I think it's something that could be adopted by communities worldwide. What do you say, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Sonati is already actually doing a program like that, because she comes in every morning to look after Kathy Kaler on the show. I'm sorry, did I say that? It's okay. She's not listening. She's not listening. It's okay. Actually, I lied, and I said you look after Howard Feldman. You don't look after Kathy Kaler. I mean, he did just turn 50, right? So to be honest, you never know.
Pleading the fifth, guys. Pleading the fifth.
Ro, and I see now that Susan Vega is heading to Israel. What's going on with that?
Well, I mean, we've been making these jokes, and Natia, I know you'll back me up between Howard, the Howards, who've always mocked me because the acts that are coming to Israel lately seem to be from generations gone past, put my teeth back in, generations gone past with music. We've had Aha, we've had Ozzy Osbourne, and now we have songstress Suzanne Vega. She is coming to Israel. She'll be here in September for two back-to-back concerts at the Tamar Festival in Masada, which is something truly spectacular, a festival with the magnificent ancient fortress of Masada as your background. And she'll be joined by the string orchestra of the Ranana Symphony. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm surprised that Ranana has a whole symphony because, you know, it's quite a small town. Well, you know, medium-sized town, Rananafontein, many South Africans there. But, yeah, she's very, very much loved in Israel. I didn't know this. And she last came here in 2015. So if you head into Israel for September, she'll be at the Tel Aviv Man Auditorium with the Israel Philharmonic, and then she'll be at Masada with the Ranana Philharmonic. Modi Inn doesn't have a philharmonic yet, Benj, but I offer to play the fool.
I think that the Ranana Philharmonic actually played with the Philadelphia Philharmonic recently. There was some like kerfuffle about it because, I don't know, BDS was very upset about it. I'm not going to lie to you, Ro, before we had this discussion, I'd never heard of this person in my life, ever.
You must have heard the song Luca. I'm not going to sing it because I don't want to traumatize anybody in the studio or anybody listening wherever they are. But check out the song Luca. You will definitely recognize it.
Okay. So at least we know the song, even if we don't know the artist. You know, maybe we can try and pick up Luca on the sound thing. We can play it in commemoration of the fact that Suzanne is coming to Israel.
But Benji, I mean, you mentioned that BDS were upset. When are BDS never upset? Do BDS know how to be happy? I don't know.
Yeah, I've always thought about this whole thing with BDS, right? It's like such a not positive way of approaching life. It's like, let's say BDS succeeds on something, so you boycott it. Then what? Like, and then you have to be negative about something else. It's just like always upset, you know? It feels like a bad way to live. To be honest,
maybe that's what the S in BDS means. Maybe they're like bored and destructive and also sad. Benji.
Sad, yeah.
We need to hug them more.
Boycott, sadness, and divestment. That's actually it's actually more of a psychological condition. Maybe we're not approaching it properly. That's really the issue. We're using truth and facts and justice, and it's just sadness. And maybe we need to do a hug a BDSer campaign. Every time you see a BDSer, just give a big hug.
Maybe they need to be hugged more.
Yeah, maybe. Sorry, I just want to go back. You know, I'm a big fan of photography, right? And on the Times of Israel site, the front page, if you go on it, they've got a Reuters AP picture of the Iron Dome. And it is a fantastic picture. Because the Iron Dome is kind of a hard thing to take a picture of. And or it might actually be Ynet, not Times of Israel. But
I've got the picture. I've got the picture you're talking about in front of me. I mean, many people don't realize that the Iron Dome is actually a very, very small weapon.
Yeah, yeah. Some people actually ask me if it's a dome, which it really isn't. But you know, the Iron Dome is always this mythical thing. It's kind of hard to look at, and you don't really know what it is. But this picture, I think, is actually a magnificent picture. It looks almost like those lightning shots that you see, you know, when they've done the multiple exposures and you see lots of lightning. So this is what it is. And it kind of looks a little bit supernatural. You know, it's kind of like, it's like this lightning bolt coming out of what is actually quite a small battery of missiles. And there's another one of it sort of curving in and exploding. I suppose it is kind of, the Iron Dome itself is a sort of new agey kind of weapon. I just thought that the picture of it was just magnificent.
It is quite an extraordinary invention, the Iron Dome, because they're very, very small. In fact, they can be transported quite easily on the back of a bucky. South Africans would know what a bucky is. Can't say bucky too much here, Benj, Zanati, because not too many people know what it is. But somebody once described the Iron Dome as a very, very schmancy orange crate with extraordinary abilities, because it really is not a big structure at all.
Yeah, but, it's quite small.
Thank goodness for it, because it is really, it's saving our lives and keeping us safe.
And if you do see an Iron Dome being transported on the back of a bucky, please tell Zanati, because that will be causing some traffic, in my humble opinion. So, you know, to make sure we do that. Ro, all the time we have for today, thank you so much, and we'll chat to you again on Monday.
Looking forward to it. Bench, guys, have a good weekend, a safe weekend, and Shabbat Shalom.